Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
So the Lord graciously, in the next verses, is explaining to them. And you notice in verse 19, now Yeshua knew the day were desirous to ask him. And notice what he says to them. Do ye inquire among yourself of that I said a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? In other words, he knew what they were speaking among each other. Remember, this conversation and this deliberation happened at the upper room and on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where the Lord will be there anticipating his death, and he will be captured by Judas, who will betray him, and those that will come to take him to the priest, to the high priest. So here he is communicating only with his disciples and sharing with them that which he had in his heart for them. You see, they followed him. They have abandoned everything for him. And he knew that. He is the one, Yeshua is the one that called them to become fishers of men. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They are the one who followed him, who lived with him during the time of his public ministry, and now they are anticipating his departure through the cross back to God the Father. And he cared for them. And so, in verse 20, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is telling them the reality that will happen. And you notice he wants them to rejoice knowing that they will have sorrows. You see, in verse 20, we find out the words, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep, notice that, and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your souls shall be turned into joy. This is so precious, isn't it? That is exactly what God have done in the whole history of the people of Israel. Amazing how the Lord knew very well that they will be, notice, weep, they will lament, and they will be sorrowful. On the other hand, the world, this is the unregenerated world, the world shall rejoice, and the world will not understand why these believers, why these apostles, why these disciples, and all those who will follow him will experience in this world sorrows. They will lament. They will weep. But he promised, notice this, and I love this expression in verse 20. He said, but the world shall rejoice and ye shall be sorrowful. But, notice that verse 20 at the end. But, he says, your sorrows shall be turned into joy. Your sorrows shall be turned into joy. The Hebrew word, avlechem yehafech lesason. Your sorrows shall be turned into joy. And then he explaining, in verse 21, the illustration is almost like a parable, a mashal. The Lord Yeshua always spoke in parables or through stories, through illustration, to help the disciples, to help you and I to understand. Think about it. What Yeshua is teaching us here through the giving of a birth to a baby into this world. He continues in verse 21. In verse 22, He was speaking of a woman. When she is in travail, she's in labor. She has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered, in other words, as soon as the baby is being delivered, the child is coming, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Now, this is so precious because the lesson here is this. Yes, because we live in a world of sin, there is sorrow in this world. Sin brings sorrow. In fact, if you remember, my dear brothers and sisters and dear friend, in fact, the curse upon a woman that came in the days in which Adam and Eve have sinned, the curse was that the woman will bear children with much sorrow. Remember what we read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, and to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. So in Genesis 3 and verse 16, God pronounced judgment upon the woman. As he pronounces judgment upon the man, Adam, he said to him, in sorrow you shall eat of it, of the ground, all the days of thy life. So judgment came upon Adam and Eve and you and I because of the fall, because of the sin nature that we all have inherited because of the fall. And we learn a great lesson. While man in his life deserved to experience sorrow, yet because of what the Lord Jesus the Messiah has done for us, because of what God has provided for us, there is a joy in the midst of sorrows. And the illustration is given by Yeshua the Messiah to his disciples here. He says, as a woman, when she is in travail, she is in labor, she has pain, she has sorrow. Because her hour is come, the time to give delivery, to deliver the baby. But then, as soon as she's travailed of her child, she remember no more the anguish for joy that a man, that a baby, is born into this world. In other words, there is a lesson for us to learn here that Yeshua is telling them, yes, you will experience sorrow, you will lament, you will weep, but that sorrow will be turned into joy. And that joy comes because of the knowledge that the reason that the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, went to the cross to die is in order that he will provide for us redemption and that he will satisfy a holy and a righteous God, because of you and I who are sinners by nature deserve to be punished and die and be separated from God. And yet the Lord Jesus the Messiah is saying the sorrow will be turned into joy while you are anticipating to be one day with me in heaven. And yet assured here and now that you are forgiven because you follow after me. You believed in me. And so in verse 22, Yeshua continued and he said, and ye now therefore have sorrows, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. In other words, the Lord is encouraging them. He says, you see, you have now sorrow because I leave. There is nothing that can be done. My dear friend, listen. There is no solution to sin, the sin's problem, except the death of the Messiah. Every time we read the story in the Gospels of the love of God who sent his Son to come to this world to pay for the sin of this world, every time we read what the prophets of Israel prophesied concerning the Messiah, we are sad because we see how much it cost him in order to provide redemption for us. The most, you might say, moving chapter in the Hebrew Scriptures is Isaiah chapter 53, where we read of the sufferings of the Messiah. And there we read that he was the one that was the perfect one, yet he is despised, he is rejected of men, he became a man of sorrow that had been acquainted with grief. And men would not even recognize him up till today in the world in which we live in. The vast majority of the world today still reject Yeshua the Messiah, God the Son, who became a man. He is still despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, the future remnant of Israel will say, in as it is written in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow, and we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripe, that's the cross, one stripe, we are healed. You see, this is that which gives us joy in the midst of sorrows, knowing that the Messiah, the Mashiach, had to die in order to provide redemption. This is amazing for us to understand, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend. And that's why, notice, the Lord is encouraging the disciples right now to anticipate weeping, lamenting, being sorrowful while the world is rejoicing without God, rejoicing by rejecting the Messiah, rejoicing in their flesh, rejoicing here and now without hope. But the believers will experience weeping, lamenting, and sorrow, but yet their sorrows will be turned into joy, while the rejoicing of the unregenerated world will be turned into sorrow in the day of judgment. And so we read, as a woman is just about to give birth, and the labor pain rises, and once she give birth to the baby, she forget the pain, embracing the little child, the boy, the girl, and enjoying to have her child with her, completely forgetting the sorrows and the pain of labor. So here Yeshua is encouraging. In verse 22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. You will be with me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. John 14, in the first few verses. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself. You see, I will see you again. There is a hope for the believer. There is hope for you and I. There is hope for everyone who trusted God, everyone who believed God's word, everyone who have accepted Yeshua the Messiah, who died for our sins. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh away from you. So, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, no one is able to take away the joy that belongs to God's people. No one is able to take this away from you and I, even though there are trials and difficulties here in this world. But for the believer, the child of God, no one can take the internal joy from the heart of the child of God. Now, you notice the word joy is mentioned in verse 20, in verse 21, in verse 22, twice, rejoice and joy. In verse 24, joy. Why is it? Joy is much more than happiness. Happiness depends upon what is happening. But joy does not depend upon what is happening. Joy depends upon a relationship that is found with the Lord Yeshua Jesus the Messiah. Amazing, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friends. You see, there is a verse that is found in Philippians. We know that verse. It's a verse that he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. The Apostle Paul encouraged the believers in the city of Philippi to have this joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Philippians 4 verse 4. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's nigh. And so there is a necessity to rejoice in spite of a time when we will weep, a time when we will lament, a time when we will be sorrowing here in this world because of sin, because of disappointments, because of frictions, because of conflicts, because of that which is going on in the world in which we live in. Yes, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Verse 22. In verse 23, in a future day ye shall ask me nothing. We will no longer need to ask because we will be in the presence of the Lord. And so notice, Yeshua says, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it unto you. And you notice, it's not only that it takes us also to the future day when we will be with the Lord, as he said, I will see you again, but also when the Holy Spirit of God will come. And in that day, it is in relationship to the coming of the Holy Spirit of God, when the Spirit will come, ye shall ask me nothing. In other words, we will ask the Father in the power of the Spirit. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father, the Abba, in my name, he will give it you. So again, one who belongs to the Lord may ask the Father in the power of the Spirit, in the name of the Son, and as it says here in verse 23, he will give it unto you. In other words, assuring us that our prayers will be answered and God will respond to the cry of his own people. And so, while we have to understand that principle here in these verses, verses 16 to 22, now in verse 23 to 28, Yeshua continues and he says, really, you need to believe what I promise you and trust me and you will be blessed. And so in verses 23 to verse 28, we read, first of all, in verse 23, in that day, this is the day of the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. When you will receive the Holy Spirit of God, ask the Father in the name of the Son, you will receive an answer. In verse 24, Yeshua continued, and he said, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And so the disciples are exhorted now to prepare themselves to ask. You see, right now they are with him. Yeshua is still with them. They were together enjoying the Passover Seder, the Feast of Pesach. Then they were learning from the time that Yeshua was with them that he is just about to go to the cross to die, to become the Passover himself, the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And now, Yeshua the Messiah, in the next verses, he wanted the disciples to ask, and to ask the Father in the name of the Son. And so, as he is with them, hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, verse 25 tells us, but I shall show you plainly of the father. In other words, that word for Proverbs in the Greek is pyromia. Really, it's a saying which is in a symbol. In Hebrew, it is still called mashal. Paroimia, in Hebrew mashal, it's simply a parabolic way of sharing the truth, of sharing a spiritual lesson. And so the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, said, you know, now I've spoken to you and it sounds like it is kind of a symbols and a parable and like a proverb, but he said, at that day, ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, verses 26 and verses 27, here once again, the word ask simply means to pray. And the Lord Jesus said that in that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. No, because now the Father will respond. You see, can you imagine what a blessing it is to know that now, after the Lord have died and gone back to heaven after his resurrection, is that believers can now speak directly to God the Father and to ask him on the basis of the finished work of the Mashiach, of the Messiah. Whenever we read the word in my name, it simply means that on the basis of what I have provided for you, on the basis of the name of the Lord, which means that he provided salvation. You shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so he's encouraging to pray to the Father. And then the Father himself knows the heart of every one of us. It's interesting because while the Lord Jesus the Messiah knew the hearts of all people, all men that were with him, yet we have to realize that God the Father, as God the Holy Spirit, the divine person, they know everything about us all. And the Father knows very well those that follow his Son, the Messiah. And he loves those that follow his Son. That's why God so loved the world, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And out of the world, those who have turned to the Savior, to the Messiah, to Jesus, are loved by the Father in a unique way. Of course, God loves the whole world. But the world is a world of the population who did not accept the Messiah, do not enjoy that love, the love of God, and they can never call him Abba, Father, until they are born of the Spirit of God. As John 1 tells us, as many as received him, received the Messiah, to them he gave the authority to be called children of God, children of the Father. And here we see now those that believed on the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, they are now loved by the Father. And the reason that he's loving them, not only that he's loving them as God the Father loves us, as he loves the whole world, but there is a special love relationship between the Father, God the Father, and those who follow the Lord Jesus the Messiah. We became sons and daughters of the Father. And there is that intimate relationship as the Father-Son, Father-Daughter, Father-Child. That's why we are called often children, little children, as believers. So the disciples believed in the person of the Lord Jesus that he came out from God, verse 27. Verse 28, Yeshua continued, and he said, I came forth from the Father, and am come unto the world, and again I leave the world and go to the Father. You remember in John 13, right at Pesach, at the Passover, in the city of Jerusalem, when they were beginning the feast of Passover to be kept, Yeshua, we read in verse 1 of John 13, now before the feast of Passover, when Yeshua knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world into the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being, this is the Passover Seder, the Passover supper, the devil now having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Verse 3 says, Yeshua, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper, and he laid aside his garment, and he took a towel, and he girded himself, and he pours water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. This is John 13, verses 1 to 5. Knowing that the Father had given all things to him, he came from God and he's going back to God. Well, here in verse 28 of John chapter 16, he came from the Father and he said, now I'm coming to the world again and I leave the world and I go to the Father. You notice it's very interesting. In John 13, he came from God and he's going back to God. In John 16, he came from the Father and he's going back to the Father.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.